Our scripture lesson today comes from Mark chapter 5, starting in the 21st verse. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus again had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." And so Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, and instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt it in her body, that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see people crowding around you," his disciples answered. "And yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." May God add his blessings to these passages. And may we seek him earnestly in prayer to hear the message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We open our hearts up right now. We set aside everything that is beating on us from the world. There is nothing right now but the Word. And that Word is made by you. It is given by you. It is strengthened by you. Let it fill our hearts. Let it help ease and calm our fears. Let it be something that strengthens us as we have to leave this sanctuary and go back out into the world. If there be one amongst us today, Father, that need this message, let it touch them greatly. And I thank you for giving it to me. And we thank you, Father, for allowing us to hear it. We ask, Father, that you fill us now with the Word. In Jesus' name. And all of his children said, Amen. Okay, let's start this way. The word chaos is a noun. Make sure that we understand the meaning of the word chaos. It is a state of utter confusion or disorder, a total lack of organization or order, or any confused, disorderly mass. Got that locked away? Chaos. When you say that word, it conjures up so many things. I want to know how many people in this room, when I said chaos, immediately their thought went to the group from Get Smart. Nobody watched that show but me? I love that smart. Chaos conjures up so many things. You might think of a riot. You might think of a group running pell-mell. You might think of Union Station in Washington, D.C. at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But chaos conjures up many forms when you utter that little tiny word, chaos. I live in a constant state of what I like to call controlled chaos. There is no way I can bring order to my world. I live in a controlled state of chaos. Why? Because I have children. And my two children are constantly around. And if you have grandchildren or children, You know what I mean. I love watching what goes on in our house. How when I walk through the door, everything is quiet, and I open the door, and I listen to the sound, and I shut it again. Do I really want to go in here and see what's going on? That's the state I live in. And if you don't think it's not that way, you should see my family trying to go anywhere. Anywhere. Just to get out the door of our house is a monumental accomplishment. Do you understand that? Most of you today, you woke up from your bed. Probably had the sounds of violins and cellos. Oh, it's church Sunday. I'll butter my toast so lovely. Oh, marmalade. Yes, I'll have a little marmalade and sip on my coffee. And you perhaps maybe have some Christian music playing. And you look down and you say, I'm so rested and refreshed. Let us now go to church. And you walk hand in hand daintily out to your vehicle. And you climb in it and you drive to church. And you come in and you're wonderful. My house! 4 minutes to go! We gotta get out of this house! I'm so tired of being late! I ain't brushed my teeth yet! I can't find my shoes! I gotta put on my makeup! Let's get out this door! Has anybody seen the cat? Did anybody find my social stuff? Hey, did you finish your Sunday school work? Where's the keys to the truck? I forgot my phone again. Did anybody remember to bring my... This is what it goes on. And we get in the truck and the door's shut. Bang, 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 bang. 4 doors go shut. And I reach for the ignition. And wait a minute, I forgot something. I can't believe we're going to be there. This goes on everywhere we go. We go out the door to go to a 4-H meeting. And we're never able to just get up and walk out the door. I live in this world. So when you say to me chaos, I immediately start to cringe because I think, oh, we got to go somewhere. And there's other people that make me want to just grab them and ugh. When you're to meet the family, we're going to show up at 6 o'clock. The little Paul Leathermans show up at 6:10. We couldn't show up at 6 o'clock if we had to. If you told me, Paul, today you can have $1 million if you show up at 6 o'clock, keep the money. Now, my sister, she's there at 5 o'clock. Chaos. And we're going to break some rules today. I'm going to throw you in some chaos. Get right back into the scripture. Open those Bibles back up you closed up and get ready to go for a ride. Put your seatbelts on. Grab the person next to you. We're going to roll around through some scripture today because the rules say I'm only supposed to read a part of the scripture and go on with it. But we're missing something here. Right back into it. Here we go again. In Mark 5, Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by... I'm sorry, I'm on 6. See how confused and chaotic it's going to be today? When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. A large crowd. 3 of the Gospels in the Bible record this event. We're going to read all 3. Because all 3 are different. All 3 have a chaotic tone to them. And yet all 3 tell the exact same story of joy, Diane, in chaos. And I had to say that like that. Because you guys don't understand. Diane, usually now that we live in the age of the electronics, we don't talk anymore. We text. Boop, 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 boop. And but this Sunday, or this Thursday when she called, I called her. And I gave her my sermon title. She goes, what is it? I said, Joy in Chaos. And she went, okay. And she does that a lot because she doesn't understand. But in these 3 texts, in these 3 moments from the Bible, we're going to read them again. And we're going to get the sense of urgency, the chaotic moment, the disorder, the clamoring. When Jesus had again, crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake. A large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. We're going to skip down a little bit. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman who had been there, subject to bleeding for 12 years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, spent all she had, and instead of getting better, was getting worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, Her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. And at once Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. Stop right there and swing around to Matthew chapter 9. In the 19th verse, while he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. And just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. Now over to Luke chapter 8. Verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at his feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. And she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master." Now let me stop here for a moment. Let me read it, not just as words on a paper. Let's put a little inflection into it. You ready? We all know who Peter was. Peter was the big mouth of the bunch. He was the one who was always shooting his mouth off and getting in trouble. So you can tell what kind of person Peter was when he says, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, and I want you to pay attention here, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Let me make sure you understand what just took place over these three Gospels. We've heard this story all the time. If you've grown up in the Christian church, or you just came in last week, you're going to hear this story over and over again. And it's always the story of faith. Everybody always says the same thing. "Oh, her faith healed her. Her faith healed her." Yes, I agree. But this was a woman who was unclean. Now, if you know much about Jewish tradition, and I don't know a lot, but I do know some, a woman who is unclean is not allowed to touch anyone. Because if she touches me, I then become unclean and sharing that with her. And if she did that to me, she now becomes subject for punishment. Punishment. She's already bleeding. 12 years. That's not punishment enough? Under Jewish law, apparently not. And she's not going to touch just anyone. She's going after Jesus. Now, Black Friday is coming up. Anybody in here ever been crazy enough to go on a Black Friday trip? And I already hear laughing. That means, yeah, I see hands going, "Yes, I've done it, Paul. I'm ashamed, but I've done it." They don't have Black Friday at the stores that I would shop at, or I would be right there with you. The stores I shop at are Harbor Freight and Tractor Supply Company and Southern States. They don't have Black Friday there. Or I'd be at the door going, "Getting me a tractor today." But the crowds are crazy. And I've read about it. I've seen it. When they launched that new Apple iPhone 7, they said that people camped out for days to get some stupid telephone. Days! I have not been
in too many large crowds in my life. I've been to a lot of comic concerts. Craziness. When we go to the baseball game at the Frederick Keys, and I decide that I'm hungry and I want a hot dog, and I try to get to the hot dog stand, especially on a Friday night when they're playing a team that nobody likes and everybody wants to see the Keys win, you cannot walk around the veranda up there to get your bump, 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 bump. And I don't like that. That's why I have children. Here's money. Go get daddy a hot dog. Hurry back. And they always come back without my change. And ice cream around their mouth. It's that kind of crowd. Only now you have Jesus, who everybody at this point in his ministry, he is known. And everybody wants to know him. And the scene is chaotic. It's an open season to get near him. But you dial it down a little bit and you think about the disorder and the calamity and the chaos in this poor woman's life. I cannot wait to get to heaven and meet her. Because the strength of this woman is forgotten. We all talk about the faith, and we all forget what has to happen in order for that to take place. She pushes her way through a crowd just to touch, just to touch the edge of his cloak. She has that much faith, but it's also the strength that she has, because when this happens, she's about to lay it out there on the line, and this unclean, nasty woman is coming forth to touch the teacher. And we already know that the disciples have not understood yet who Jesus Christ is, and they won't get it until he dies. They're still angry Jewish men who want him protected and keep people pushed away. And she's pushing on toward him, and she knows as she pushes and pushes into the chaos, into the moment, and touches him. Wham! Gone. Now, Jesus knows. And he turns around. Who touched me? She has to confess this now. She could be stoned or put to death for what she just did. And in the midst of all that chaos, in the midst of all that pain, in the midst of all that disorder, disaster, she's healed. How does she walk away? In joy. She walks away being in joy in that chaos. It is one of the most powerful stories in the Bible to me. Not because of the miracle. Well, that's great, but I mean, there is a ton of miracles in the Bible. I love the one where the guy can't get to the pool. The angel comes down, stirs the water, and Jesus says, "Watch this. You're better. Get up and walk away." Ha! That's one of the great stories. He spits in mud, rubs it on their eyes. They can see again. There are a ton of miracles from Jesus Christ in this book, and I love every one of them, but the strength of this woman with the calamity and chaos in her life pushes on, looking for the joy in the chaos. Brothers and sisters, we live every day in a world ensconced, enveloped, pushed in on all sides from chaos. Say amen if you're with me. Amen. You live in it. And I'm not talking about the funny stuff of trying to get out the door. I'm talking about the fact that every day we live in chaos and disorder. Look around you. Turn the news on. We went across three gospels. And across those three gospels, we all saw the same thing. She had suffered for 12 years, 12 years, 12 years, 12 years. 12 years. And gave away everything. Could not be healed. 12 years. Living in that way. It strengthens my faith in Jesus Christ. I've lived on this planet for 49 years. And of those 49 years, I've lived 48 of them in chaos. My parents had to live for about 20 of them in chaos because they had to raise me.
And it doesn't go away. Everything is constantly around us. Anybody turned on the news lately? I got up this morning and read where at a festival, people playing, having a good time. Hey, we just rode our motorcycles in. Woohoo! And a guy loaded on alcohol flips his truck off an interstate and crashes on a booth underneath the interstate and kills 4 people. And the scene was chaotic. We are stuck in this world and we can't get out of it. I don't know who wrote this. It came from Today in the World back in 1988. But it goes like this. A third century man was anticipating death. And so he penned these last words to a friend. It's a bad world. An incredibly bad world. I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found joy, which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, and they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are Christians, and I am one of them. Joy in chaos. In the middle of everything around us, we pin our hope to what? That cross. Doesn't matter what's going on. Like the eye of a hurricane. I ain't never been through a hurricane. I've always wanted to. I've told Wendy a couple times. Hey, man, the next time one comes, let's run down there and check it out. And she always says the same thing to me. Why am I married to you? Because I make life fun. I am chaotic. But we live in the middle of this world that just drives me nuts with how we do it. This poor woman, her uncleanliness, her strength was to come before Jesus Christ, touch him, and then prepare to be stoned to death. And all around us is chaos, and unfortunately, sometimes we bring it on ourselves, don't we? A lot of times we bring it on ourselves when we get to going too fast and we stop and forget the simple things. And this week, I had a reminder of it. Usually I tell the story first, but I wanted you to understand why this story struck me. Made me cry. I'm working down Dulles Airport. My company has farmed me out to be a third-party inspector on the installation of a natural gas line on Dulles Airport property. Now, that's fun for me because what am I around? You can say it. Those big jet airplanes, boy, and they come in and they go out and them big engines are whining and all that stuff is right. Oh, and I love it. I finally saw one of my bucket list items. I saw a Russian and drop-off jet. That's the one with 4 jet engines on it that can haul a small factory inside of it. It's got 25 wheels underneath of it. Boys, when that thing came in, the wingspan goes from the back of that church to the road and beyond out there. This thing was monstrous. Everybody stopped working. That thing going, oh my goodness, look at that. And all I could think when I saw it land was, man, I'd really like to fly that thing. Think they'd let me? Not on this life. And we're putting in a new gas station. Now, let me set the scene. Here's the old gas station. That gas station is never not busy. It's the only gas station on Dulles Airport property. And that place is chaotic at best. And right across the street, we're putting in a new, bigger gas station. Much, much bigger. And when we get done, they're going to close down the small gas station and move the chaos to the other side of the street. It has 62 gas pumps over there, 62 gas lines. It's a big gas station. And this area is right before you get into the airport proper. And all the construction traffic comes up and does U-turns in the big opening of the driveway. There's a road in and a road out, and there's a median that separates it. And if you keep going straight, you go back into the parking lots, and there's buses and cars and
all this stuff going on all day long, and there's constant, it gets so bad at 4 o'clock at this gas station. Dulles Airport Police direct traffic in and out of the gas station. And if you park your car at a gas pump, they will lose their mind with you. You know how some people like to do that? Doesn't it make you crazy? They park at the gas pump, then they go inside and go grocery shopping, and you just want to hook up to their car and drag it out of the way. But that's busy. And there's all this stuff. Across the street, they are building a gas station. Cranes and backhoes and trackhoes and dump trucks and people yelling and banging and slamming and all this noise. And I'm sitting in the middle of all of it. And in the middle of this median, the rain had created a puddle, probably 10 feet across. And I'm sitting near this puddle. I parked my truck because I got to walk here, I got to walk here, I got to walk here. And I got to come back and write stuff down. And everything's kind of getting real crazy in the late afternoon. And all of a sudden I get this noise and this movement. And I turn around and I'm like, what? There are about 20 grackles, sparrows, whatever you want to call them, that have found this puddle. And they are in this puddle having the time of their life. They are talking to each other, whatever them birds say. And they're splashing around and they're throwing water on each other. And a little mother bird is over on the shore going, don't go out too far, kids. And they're partying in this puddle. And there's vehicles swirling around them. And I'm standing next to them. And people are walking and they stand up and they go back in. And they don't leave the puddle. And they are having the time of their life. In the middle of all this chaos, they are finding joy. Amen, right there. And I am broken right on the spot. I'm watching this. And I'm thinking, thank you. And I start to get a little bit choked up because of all the things around them. At any moment, tractor trailer coming in, the sweeper truck could squish one of these birds. And they don't get anywhere near them. And the birds are oblivious to it. They're just carrying on. And I start to have fun with the birds. And I holler out the window at them. I said, hey, you kids are getting in the deep end. Mama, chirp, 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 chirp. And they're splashing. And this goes on for 20 minutes. And I watch it. And I am touched. And I am thankful, God, in my life of chaos, I'm reminded of Jesus Christ, the point of joy, the eye in the storm that will keep me safe and grounded no matter how bad things are going. Amen. And it got me. And I now have a relationship with the birds. Because it goes on a little further. The next day, I came in, I was ready to see them. And apparently, they're not playing on my beach anymore. But there's a group of them who have discovered how much I love pistachios. I get a bag of pistachios, and I crack them things open, and I throw the shells out the window. And you can tell where I've sat because there's a pile of shells. I get the big bag. I'm sitting there eating, and all of a sudden, flop, right on the door of the truck looking at me, is one of them birds. And I mean, I said, what do you want? Bah, bah, bah. So I threw a pistachio shell out the window, and he ran over to it, or she, whatever, and picked it up. And there was no nut in it. And they came back and they told me how unhappy they were that there was not a nut in that shell. And now I look over, and on the fence 10 feet away are 9 of them lined up watching the one. Man, if he gets a nut, we're coming after that car. So I threw a nut out the window at him. And he found the nut. And he flew back over to the fence with it in his mouth. And they all gathered around him. How'd you get the nut? I got the nut. The guy over there in the car, he's giving out free nuts, man. And here we are again in the middle of all this chaos. And these birds are bringing me great joy. So I'm cracking and throwing them out the window. And I'm eating one. And finally they had their fill. And they flew away. And I praised God to never let me forget the joy I have that no matter what goes on in this world, touch his cloak, no matter how much you get hurt, touch his cloak. In the middle of the chaos, you have joy. Amen.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. John chapter 16. In the 17th verse. Jesus echoes these words. Some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while
you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. And because I am going to the Father, they kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more? And then after a little while you will see me. I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again. And you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Amen. In the middle of all of this, excuse me for a moment, I must be getting a little wound up today. In the middle of, I can't wait to see my birds this week. In the middle, and I'm taking bird seed this time. I'm going to throw it out there. In the middle of all of this, Jesus is telling you, through the disciples, through his word, we experience grief daily. Why? Because we as Christians want everybody to know the joy that we have for knowing Jesus Christ. And when we see the world getting beat the way it does, and people acting the way they do, we want them to know Jesus Christ. To know that presence, to know that calming, to know that joy, to know they can touch his cloak, and although they're unclean, they won't make him dirty, they'll be clean. Yet the world doesn't want any part of it. It just wants to be chaos. And Jesus said, I have to go. Right now. But in a little while, you will see me again. And when you do, you will know the joy that I have for you. He says, in your world that you're in right now, whatever it is, I'm here. I love you. I am standing right here. Come here. Touch my pants leg. Hold my hand. Call out to me. Ask for me. In the middle of the chaos, I am your joy. I am what will keep you away from all of this. And although you have to suffer for it, the woman giving birth, you have to suffer. You won't suffer forever. The woman 12 years bleeding had to suffer. Didn't suffer forever. Went away from the chaos in joy. Brothers and sisters, whatever is beaten on you, and there's a lot, we have this joy. The man that was writing said that this joy cannot be taken away from us. We don't need to live in a state of confusion and anger and frustration because we know Jesus Christ. And we let other people know, and the joy spreads. And one day, whether we see him or whether we go home, we'll know. That moment could happen today. I could be just about ready to close up shop here, and you hear that, and it's time. We're out of here. But we never should ever let ourselves forget that in the moment of our strife and our stress and our destruction and calamity and any other synonym you can use to describe chaos, in the middle of it all, Jesus Christ stands there for us as the place to go for peace, rest, and comfort, for our joy in chaos. Say amen right there. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Oh, there's so much more sermon to that. You know, the birds don't even care about anything. They're just automatically taken care of. But thank you, Father. Thank you for reminding us that there is joy in chaos. That in the middle of all of it, He still stands. He's not here right now. He left us with the Holy Spirit. In the middle of all of that, the Holy Spirit is right there. Frankly, Father, I'd say, bring on the chaos. Because it makes my joy that much greater. I pray, Father, that You would strengthen each and every one of us to be that person, the calm inside the storm, that while it rages around us, and we do have to experience it, we don't have to experience it alone or without joy. We call ourselves Christians, and so we should. Because our belief, our trust, our clinging is to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this lesson and these words. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need that extra prayer, the prayer bench is open. I am here to pray with you should you need it. I offer up to you the blessings of the Lord. And remember, when the birds want seed, feed them. You'll get great joy in all the chaos. Amen.